Good evening. This is a meeting of the Strategic Planning Committee of the Pacifica National Board. It is now 8:44 p.m. on the East Coast, and it's December 14th, 2020. It's the day when the electors elect the president of this country. And I'm Alex Steinberg, the chair of the committee. And does somebody want to volunteer to play secretary for this evening and call the roll? All right, let me rephrase that. Does somebody want to call the roll? We'll leave aside the secretary part.
Do you want me to, Alex? This is Nancy.
That would be great.
Okay, let me see if I can get back to that page. The page on the KPFTX is correct, right?
It should be. You can also just look at the list of names in the email you got.
I didn't get an email.
You did? I sent you one.
Oh, did you? Oh, okay. Okay. Just recently? Okay, I see. Elements of Strategic Planning.
Yeah, that one.
Okay, I'll read it from there. I'll read it from there then. Great. Okay. Okay. Sorry, just hang on. Okay. Grace Aaron, here. Lawrence Reyes,
here.
Dwayne Lark,
present.
Jim Sagerton.
Here.
Tom Voorhees.
Tom is here.
Heather Gray. Here. Okay. Lyndon Foley.
Here.
Okay. Robin Collier.
Doesn't sound like he's here.
Okay. Lydia Brazon. Vanessa Dixon.
Present.
Okay. Is there anybody I missed?
That's me.
Oh, who's Alex?
Yeah, I'm here.
Sorry, was that you that said you missed me?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Okay, Robin Collier. Lydia Brazon. Okay.
Okay. Before we begin, I should point out that I just want to point out that Grace Aaron is no longer a voting member of this committee because she has resigned as secretary, but she is one of the major participants in our strategic plan, and I wanted her to be involved in the session tonight and whatever other meetings we may have until we adopt a strategic plan. She won't be voting if we have any votes. So let me read the draft agenda that I sent out. First item is roll call. We just did that. And there's a 5-minute item called agenda approval. then followed by a two-minute item for minutes, followed by a continuation of discussion on strategic plan and core values for 60 minutes, followed by new business for 10 minutes, and we are set to adjourn at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Are there any additions or objections to the draft agenda? Okay, hearing no objections, the draft agenda is approved. Next item is minutes. I do not have any new set of minutes. I will be working on that before we term out. We have to get all our minutes up to date, but I don't have any at this point. Next item is continuation of discussion on strategic plan and core values. Okay, so let me preface this part of the discussion by saying that we formed a working group to flesh out the strategic plan, and that working group consisted of myself, Grace, and Lawrence. We were only able to meet once. We were going to meet again, but we didn't get a chance to. So this is still a work in progress, but I think we might as well present whatever we have to the full committee at this time, with the understanding that we definitely need to have at least one or two more working group sessions to flesh out this plan. Now, Grace is the main author of the financial recovery plan, and in the meantime, I wrote up something else, which is a discussion of what core values we should be following in carrying out any kind of recovery plan or restructuring plan. And you all should have gotten a copy of that in your emails a little while ago. We can begin a preliminary discussion on this. Of course, there'll be further discussion to follow. I don't expect we'll come to any conclusions in such a short period of time, but I think it's good to get things kicked off. Should I read at least an outline of each of these documents so that anybody who might be listening would know what we're talking about? What do you all think?
Yeah. I think you should, for the benefit of the stream.
Okay. Or we could just go through like the short-term strategic plan and the other elements there, emergency strategic plan, and they will know what we're talking about. I just don't want to go into take too much time reading it, that's all.
I understand. So I'll do this. What I'll do is I'll just, instead of reading the full text of both documents, I'll just read like the headings and maybe one line from each paragraph, so just so you get an idea what it's about. So that should go fairly quick. Okay, so the first document, and this is new, is a document called Pacifica Foundation in the 21st Century. And the preface to the document says, whereas Pacifica has a mission statement incorporated into our bylaws, we should consider how that may look concretely in the 21st century. And then I go through a number of points about what that should look like. Our fundamental mission is educational. And I also make the point that we cannot simply be neutral as far as the political and cultural situation in this country. We have a role to play in that. I mentioned that listener donations should be at the core of our fundraising models, whatever model we adopt, because if we move away from that, I think we're basically moving away from the whole idea of Pacifica, which doesn't mean that we don't want to explore other fundraising models, but we should always keep listener sponsorship at the core. I also mentioned that we need, for the 21st century, we need to diversify into other media platforms while maintaining radio as sort of our core platform. We may want to work for partnerships with other media organizations whose core values are compatible with ours. I also mentioned that we are committed to a democratic governance structure, and that has to play a key role in any ideas to reorganize or restructure Pacifica. I also mentioned that Pacifica has a dual role to play. It's at once a beacon for community radio stations, but we also have the capacity together with our affiliates to act as a nationwide network and become a rival to the other networks that basically are expressing the point of view of the American duopoly. And I end it by saying that any recovery or restructuring plan that simply considers financial matters irrespective of our core values and that goes against our core values should be simply rejected, so that when we discuss our financial recovery, it has to be within the framework of our core values, of our programming content, of our entire educational mission. Okay, so that's the summary of that document. And Grace, do you want to try to summarize your document? You could probably do a better job than I could.
Well, it's just I just pasted the mission statement on the top and the principles that we're dedicated to peace and social justice, and that we seek to include diverse communities in every aspect of Pacifica. But after that, there's an immediate recovery plan, because we are in very, very difficult financial straits at the moment. So there's an emergency strategic plan just to get us out of this. And then after that, a short-term plan, and then more of a medium-range plan. Just broad outlines. Alex mentioned to me that there should be, you know, steps for how long it would take and how we get these different things reported when they're finished, or et cetera, et cetera. I didn't put that in at all, just the things that I felt need to be done.
Like I said, it's a work in progress. We do have to put in some timelines and some, you know, what if we don't meet this goal, what's the alternative, and, you know, things like that. That's the kind of thing we need to finish up with in the working groups. I think the working group is the appropriate place to put in all those kind of details. But anyway, this is the basic outline is there. Okay, so the floor is open for discussion. Who wants to be on the stack? Okay. Did I hear you correctly? Is that Lyndon?
No, Lawrence.
Lawrence. Okay.
A better looking version. Anyway.
Okay, Lawrence.
So, all right. So I did read through most of the plan that Grace submitted, and I just want to say that I'm intrigued by the emergency piece of the plan. I think we are in an emergency, both in our society and also in Pacifica. And I believe that some of the measures suggested are definitely worth considering. I know I want to bring attention to the stations that are spending money and exceeding their expenses, and I am remiss to say that KPFK is engaged in that. Also, the National Board has directed the expense cuts for quite some time. I believe this is the very first aspect of the proposed plan. So if you want to read along with me, it really denotes some of the shared responsibility that needs to happen in regards to the IED and the ICFO to monitor to see if there's any further PPP funding. I think that's a noble observations to make on a continuous basis. Other fundraising efforts, I like the other piece of what was it? Okay. In regards to the extension of the $3.2 million loan, it's possible to get an extension approved by the PNB. To codify that, I think it's very important. Also, to I like the idea of developing and strengthening and supporting the COVID race and democracy, COVID virus 19 programming that has been a national program that has taken place most recently for after quite some years of no national programming. And I believe that I support the idea of developing that model. And even I just called a reconvening of the task force to meet on Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern time, to start to flush out some ideas to strain COVID race and democracy, and also to look at possible proposals and ideas in regards to developing national programming. One of the concerns I have is point four, where it says do all possible to improve programming so that it sounds better and it's more compelling and interesting. I have a concern with point A, to ensure that all program directors review programs on at least a quarterly basis, that underperforming programs be improved promptly or either relegated to hours that have low potential listenership or removed and replaced with high quality programming that conforms with the Pacific Commission. I think there's some things missing there. I think one of the things that needs to be looked at is whether those programs are being provided cards and for promotion of their programs, and that those programs have their voices heard in regards to those promotion opportunities. And I just don't see that, and I think it's kind of I think it's a little harsh to relegate and to use the word relegate to another time or hours that have a lower potential listenership. I think what we should do is try to first work with the strengths of that program and promote it just like we promote other programs that are usually promoted more often on the air than these programs that are struggling or these programs that don't get the kind of promotion that it needs. And I could go on with a list of concerns that I have in regards to that KPFK, where a lot of the regular programs are their shows are promoted on a regular basis, and the other shows that are in on the grid are not offered that opportunity. So I'd like us to take a look at that. But I'm gonna stop there because I want others. But I only have 20 minutes to remain on this call, so that's why I wanted to chime in because those are the areas that really piqued my interest, and I really appreciate the fact that we need the offer to become CPV compliant and do those things in order for us to regain our CPV funding throughout the network, not just at the stations that have regained it through some sort of minority grants and stuff like that. And I like the idea of supporting and expand the successful volunteer COVID risk democracy, which provides a natural voice for Pacifica as well. That's foster collaboration with five states and units and the affiliates. I just think we need to support that a little bit more by encouraging the stations that are not carrying them often. And I would say KPFK and KPFA. I know TW and I have regular they air that program on a regular basis. So, Chair, that's I'm gonna stop there. Thank you.
Thank you, Lawrence. Who else wants to chime in on this?
Could I ask a question?
Okay, I heard somebody else too. But whoever that was, let Nancy go first, and then we'll take somebody else. Go ahead.
Okay. Actually, I wanted to ask Lawrence before he leaves, as I think Lawrence is the chair of the governance committee, and so I was wondering where is the governance committee on bylaws. Are they going to have something by the second week of January to put forth?
Hey, if I could answer that, Chair, can I?
Actually, I have a question about that as well.
Okay, so why don't I just take them both in the group? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the second week of January is still the purview of the 2020 PNB. Shouldn't we... I mean, we can make some recommendations, but I think it would be more proper for the 2021 PNB to propose bylaws amendments if we're talking about going into the new year now. And they don't get started until the end of January.
Right, Chair. That's my understanding as well. We had there's a bylaws subcommittee. Working group, it's a subcommittee, it's not a working group. It's a subcommittee out of the governance committee that is being convened by Beth Van Gutten from KPFK, and we had pretty robust participation. And that question did come up in regards to moving forward. The timeline in January seems to be more appropriate to take up amendments. I don't know if that's the question you're asking, Nancy. And we are meeting this Wednesday, and we will have a report out in regards to that.
Yeah, I was just referring to one of the items in this strategic plan. It referred to first 2 weeks of, I think it was item 15. The PNB should put serious attention on bylaws amendments and proposals should be put forward in the first 2 weeks of January 2021.
Yeah, I see that. And we will definitely, I do intend to put that on the agenda when I put out the agenda tomorrow. Point 16 is very much one of the items that we want to put on the agenda. I mean, 15, excuse me, not 16. One of the agenda items that we're going to put on the agenda for discussion Wednesday night.
This is great.
And as you know, any director could attend any committee meeting, right? So you're more than welcome to attend, Nancy.
Oh, okay, great, thanks.
So I don't know if I capture your question, Alex.
I think so. I think
okay.
The idea may want to come up with some recommendations and let the 2021 PNB act on them. Is that the sense I'm getting?
Yeah. So this is the last meeting of this term, but I think I'm at the committee if we want to convene an additional meeting in 2 weeks after this meeting on Wednesday to address that.
Okay. I think I heard Grace there.
In listening to Lawrence, I added a point D to section 4 about programming that says ensure that the program director provides station resources equitably to all programmers paid and unpaid. This would include on-air forward promotion, help with pitching, et cetera.
Thank you, Grace, for doing that. I appreciate it.
Can I comment on that issue? You know, as we all know, this is a very thorny issue, how to evaluate program quality, and that's kind of a tricky question. And I think to some extent we have to always give the program director some latitude in doing that. And whereas I don't like the verbiage there, talking about higher quality and lower quality, that's unfortunate. But there are quality issues in terms of programming, and of course that has to be judged in the context of the kind of audience you're trying to reach and what it is you're trying to do with that audience. Obviously, I mean, we're not going to just put on some show that's great that has nothing to do with our audience or our mission. So these are tricky questions, and it's a little tricky just to come up with a formula that works all the time. I know we have a lot of people, for instance, we used to get a lot of comments from some of our committees that say the key to improving Pacifica is to improve the programming content. Well, that's kind of true, but it's kind of like an empty statement, because what is involved in improving programming content? And you know, it's a difficult issue. I guess that's all I'm trying to say.
Vanessa to the staff.
Yeah, Vanessa. Go ahead.
On that particular point, I agree with everything you said in terms of it is tricky. It's not black and white. There are all kinds of shades of gray, and we do hire professionals for this purpose. There are kinds of different types of music and different types of public affairs programs. So, what is the mechanism to evaluate such a wide range of programs? And so I don't know if there are any models or best practices that, we could kind of take a look, and maybe it's the program director, of course, but with input from some kind of entity, I don't know, a committee, I'm not sure what, but some other kind of maybe even informal feedback from a different entity that, somehow it is assigned to evaluate, whatever type of music, jazz or public affairs or something. But with the exception of a professional, I don't see how the, we're representative of the membership. So presumably, we're not experts in all genre of music or public affairs. So I don't know if there was some sort of best practice.
Yeah.
Lyndon for the staff.
Yeah, can I be on the staff?
Sure. Since you have to go soon, why don't you go right now, and then I'll take I think that was Lyndon who wanted to be on the staff also?
That was correct. That's correct.
What, Lawrence?
Lyndon, if you don't mind.
You paid me such a solid the other night at my LSB. I guess I'll let you go.
Okay. It was no pun intended. I'm just trying to be factual in my own view. In any event, I agree that this is a double-edged sword, and I think PDs should have latitude. But I think it needs to be further defined, if you will, in regards to what kind of programs, what audience are they trying to target, what is their intent, is it mission-driven, that sort of thing. But I agree that it just needs to be defined a little further. I just don't like the not that it's negative language, but that's the only name I could come up with. It sounds kind of negative. So that's why I wasn't objecting, but I was just hoping that it could be defined a little bit more. And I appreciate the amendment that Grace put forward, because that would help. Not that it's the magic bullet, but it would help. Thank you, Mr. Foley. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Lyndon, go ahead.
Okay. I'd like to steer this back to the financial side with the emergency strategic plan and the short-term strategic plan. And I'd like to start by thanking you all for helping KPFT get the bank statements so we could do some analysis. And because I don't know how long ago it was that the National Finance Committee and then the PNB passed the resolution saying that all the stations needed to get their expenses down to the revenue levels. But it's been quite a while, maybe 4 months or something. And meanwhile, I know that KPFK is bleeding badly, and they have situations, you know, with their workforce being unionized and stuff, which not something that I know much about. I know it's tough and y'all are working hard on it, but it is really taken up. I don't know how many executive meetings we've had just on KPFK. And so we never got around to KPFT, and we've been hurting also just on a much smaller basis, but it's been very, very difficult for us. And I was hoping we would get around to KPFT and have this out in executive session, but that hasn't come to be. So in lieu of that, our treasurer made a request for some bank statements, and we did get those this past week. And then three directors, myself, Sandra Rawline, and Wally James, have asked for a director's inspection. And I sent all that material out to all of y'all and to Lydia and to KPFT management. And I have a list, a specific list. And if that list is turned over, if the information that I'm asking for is turned over, we will be able to have a very good idea of exactly what's going on at KPFT. We can share that with you, the board. We can share that with our new general manager whenever he gets here. And also, we can do the budget. As a matter of fact, right now we have somebody working on different revenue scenarios. And so this is all very doable. And I just need y'all to help me out and see that the director's investigation is allowed to go forward. And KPFT can take care of itself, I believe. And then, you know, we can get on to bigger and better things.
Lyndon, what kind of help are you looking for specifically?
Well, I need Lydia to make sure that the material that I requested is handed over. One thing, something that's coming up most immediate. Now, I had a deadline of December 31st, but I also said to, you know, as it's produced, it should be forwarded to us. And one thing I asked for specifically was for this weekend, I said Saturday the 19th or Sunday the 20th, that we want to inspect our building. And in order to do that, we need somebody to come down there that has all of the keys to every lock in the building. So that's our very first. And then I also asked for read access to the Great Plains system that can answer all the questions. I also asked for a check register so we'll be able to see, you know, where the list of checks, where they went to and things like that.
Okay. Okay, further discussion?
Chair?
Yeah, Mark?
Yeah, I'm going to go. I have a union negotiations with the County of Los Angeles, and I have to do a pre-meet before the meeting. I just got a text. So good people, thank you for all your work, and I look forward to the notes. Thank you, and good night.
We'll be in touch. The next meeting of our working group, I'll be in touch with you on that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so Vanessa to the staff, please.
Okay, Vanessa.
Okay, so in terms of process, I don't know, I guess it's not clear to me maybe how much or if we want to flesh out the skeleton. Do we want to flesh it out anymore? Do we just want to refine it? And then depending on that, I presumably it goes back to the TNB to say, hey, this is what we came up with. But I guess just for our purposes, what are the next steps?
Well, we definitely want to flesh it out, but it's probably not a good place to do it at the committee level. Those kind of details should probably be done at the working group level, but maybe members of the committee have some ideas about some of the fundamental issues that are in the strategic plan, that, or maybe they don't like some of the main points. That's why we're having this discussion. In other words, I'm presenting to the committee what we have at this point, given that it's still a work in progress. So if you have something you want to add to it, or you think we're going in the wrong direction somewhere, let us know.
Lyndon for the SAC.
Let me just, Vanessa, did my answer make any sense?
Yes. Sorry, I had to unmute. Yes, it did.
Okay. Lyndon, go ahead.
Well, we might, it might help if we had a timeline that we could try to work with for KPFK's negotiation. When is it going to be done?
It's a good question. I guess I can defer that to people from KPFK. I think Lawrence left, but Grace is still here. Maybe Grace can tell us.
And then the short-term strategic plan, expense cuts. When are we going to do that?
Another good question. Grace?
What is the question?
Lyndon would like to know what the timeline is for the cuts at KPFK, and what is the timeline for the short-term strategic cuts?
3 months ago. This is way overdue. We have not been presented with a timeline. This is there's no projected timeline, and members of the KPFK Finance Committee are up in arms about this because the situation is really dire, and the expense cuts are not happening quickly enough. We're negative $70,000 to $90,000 a month. This is enough to sink all of Pacifica. We haven't paid KPFK. Pacifica, the national office, depends to a great degree on the central service payments from KPFK. KPFK has not met its central service payments for all or most of the year so far. We owe probably around $300,000 in central service payments to the national office, which means that bills are going unpaid at the national office level. NETA hasn't been paid. We owe them, I don't know, something about like $180,000 or $190,000. How long can they keep providing us with services, accounting services, et cetera, if they're not being paid? So this is really, really causing it's a calamity, and the cuts should have been made already. So we're way behind on any kind of timeline, and I would hope that the National Board would put as much pressure to bear on the KPFK GM and the interim executive director to get the expense cuts to happen.
James, you're the chair of the National Finance Committee. Maybe you have some insight into this. Hello, James? Maybe he's not on the call anymore. Okay, well.
I believe somebody else had asked for the stack.
Somebody else want to be on the stack?
Yeah, Nancy, I have something.
Okay, go ahead, Nancy.
Perhaps you could add to this. Now you have some of the items covered in other places, but they're, you know, with respect to that particular item number. But maybe, and it could be redundant under the one I'm going to suggest right now. The one I want to suggest is to make sure everything that we need to have in place to apply for CPP funding, grant funding, is is on track for a certain date. I think the basic thing that was holding us up was the audits,
mm-hmm.
and we are about to get on track with that. So, it's time to get ready to make an application for CPB funding. So, if one of the items here could be something about making sure that we're ready, applying for or making sure that we're ready and then applying for CPB grant funding by maybe a certain date. Then list other, the ABC under it, things that we need.
I believe if we're going to get funding, the earliest we can apply would be funding for sometime in 2022. And in order to qualify for that, I believe we would have to have our 2020 audit completed by June of next year, by June of 2021. So that's one deadline I'm fairly certain of, but there may be some other CPB deadlines that I'm not aware of. Grace, do you know anything more about that?
I think
I'd be willing to look into it, to have some items listed under that in the plan.
I think that's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that as much as we can to accelerate the audits getting done, I mean, we're losing something like over $1 million a year as a foundation. Lost CPB funding, which I think is a shame. So
yeah.
If we invested money in accelerating the getting the audits done, including debugging whatever the slows are, including ironing out any underperformance of staff or hiring extra staff to accelerate the process, would be to our benefit, because we would get so much more from CPB funding. It would cover any investment we made in it. But I do have in number three, I mention in this strategic plan some of these things, including ensure that every station has a functioning community advisory board, ensure that all meetings are properly noticed. Those are two things that are required by the CPB. But anything else? We also lost CPB funding in 2014 at KPFK because our listenership was too low. The CPB has a way of figuring out what our listenership is. And once it goes below a certain threshold, we become ineligible for CPB funding. So it's very important that we improve the programming to increase our listenership
KPFK, for instance, is losing about $240,000 a year in CPB funding, and we lost our funding before the rest of the network simply because our listenership was too low. So a concentration on improving listenership certainly would pay off in a lot of ways. I'd also like to mention, if you go to the CPB website, you'll see that there is a separate grant that's just made for us that has, so once we're eligible for CPB funding, there are other grant opportunities. The grant that I'm talking about is right on, right there on the CPB site, and it doesn't have a deadline. It's just an ongoing grant to help with network communication between different radio or media outlets. That would be if one our communication and our networking between the affiliates and between the stations themselves, there's funding for that, but first we have to be eligible for CPB funds. It's not just the CPB money, it's also these extra grants that would be available to us.
Vanessa, to the staff.
Yeah, that would be good to put in here, too.
Yeah, you know, I'll do that. Let me see if I can, what I can add here. That's a good point. It's a good point. Maybe I'll make a separate category for CPB funding.
Okay. I think I heard Vanessa.
That's, I guess, pretty much what I was going to suggest in terms of, you know, what sounds like a good investment, you know, maybe the priority investment in terms of, you know, putting money into something that we can, you know, see a direct return. And so, you know, like, how are we not compliant? What are the deficiencies? So I think, you know, Nancy and I were on the same track with that. But also in terms of the decreased listenership, it's kind of hard. I mean, I'm not sure what kind of analysis is necessary to determine if it's better quality programming that's needed, or just being more competitive. There are so many options, for people to listen to. So is it that we need to just find a better way to, quote unquote, advertise, let people know about the programs rather than, you know, assuming, and I don't know if it's an assumption, I don't know how, but, you know, coming to that conclusion, but one, maybe figuring out a way to determine why is there decreased listenership? Is it lack of quality of programming, or is it that we could better, advertise, so to speak?
I could chime in on that last question. I think it's both, actually, and it varies in different stations. Speaking for WBAI, I think we have some really very good quality programs, but we have no budget for marketing or advertising. We have we do attempt to do social media and all that stuff, but without a dedicated staff doing that, it's difficult to get the word out.
Right.
That may not be the same at other stations, but I think that's representative of the situation to some degree, at least at WBAI. Other stations, it may very well be that the programming content is just not up to what's needed in that particular demographic or that particular market.
So is it reasonable then to include that, and maybe it is included in some form or fashion in the skeletal strategic plan, to include those, one, a way to evaluate the reason for decreased listenership, and two, again, investing some money into an area that will bring returns. So, you know, one is CPD, the other is, you know, advertising, marketing. So I don't know if those are already included in some way.
or if they're not, if they're, you know, deemed worthy to include.
Who answered that?